Hi, everybody. So welcome to another episode of Healing Words with Christine. I'm very happy to have you guys on my podcast, and I hope that you'll get something really juicy from what we have today with my guest. Let me just do my little intro. So this podcast is for people who want a daily dose of personal development support, believe in the power of alternative healing and energy work, and want to activate their divine wealth blueprint, and are ready to build a relationship with their mind, body, and spirit. So today, on the expansive conversations portion of the podcast, I have a special guest. Her name is Lauren. She is a transformational coach, intuitive guide, and astrologer. She has been assisting others for over a decade to forge a deeper connection with their soul, build genuine self-esteem, and strengthen their intimate relationships. I love that. It's beautiful, and it sums everything up so like succinctly. And so today, I think we're going to be touching on, you know, the topic of relationships and some of the difficulties that you have had, or that maybe you've observed from your clients as patterns with relationships. So that, you know, for those of you listening, this might fall under, you know, people pleasing, or might fall under poor boundaries. It might fall under, you know, just really toxic attachments where, you know, you move into a relationship and it's like, you can't stand not being around that person, or you can't see yourself as separate from that person. So you try to become, you know, basically, what's the word? The word is like, it's like that person needs you or something like that. I can't think of the word. My language is all poor today. So pardon me, everybody, that my language is not great, but we're going to keep going and we're going to do the best we can. So I want to let Lauren just sort of talk a little bit about, you know, the angle that she's coming from and, you know, what she wants to share today in this podcast.
Thank you so much for that beautiful introduction, Christine. Your language is just right. yeah, my intention today is that my words also come out in a smooth fashion. I think for me, what I'm curious to share today, when you asked me to come on this podcast in relationship to codependency, like I have definitely had my fair share of codependent relationships, and it's been such a invitation for me to look deeper at those patterns. And it's also been such a source of intrigue into my healing journey, into a deeper space of wholeness and self-esteem. Because when it comes to codependency or relying on things external to you, you're really operating from a space of lack within. And so that's ultimately, I think, on a human level, a very common theme that so many of us go through, and why we really reach for anything outside of us, right? Sorry, there's a crying baby in the background, if you can hear that. But
we're human. You know, we all have lives. Yeah,
exactly. And like that crying baby is no coincidence. Like this path has taken me into such deep crevices of like my own feelings of the void, right, within. And it's made me also very passionate about supporting others to fill that void, to find that restored connection to themselves and restored connection to God, because ultimately, to me, that is all that suffices and fills that into a space of completion. And then from there, you can really operate in a more intentional, mature way in your relationships. But it's a process. I probably went through 4 significant relationships with these codependent dynamics. And I'm not currently in a relationship, but I feel like the next one will be a test to how far perhaps I have come in that regard. But yeah, I think that that's really the topic that I want to get into today is codependency, and maybe how I've overcome it and how other people can find tools to do the same in their own lives.
Oh, I love that. And you articulate it really well. So I'm really happy to just hear the way you express it. Now, I did want to get into some like concrete stuff too. So like, let's focus today also, you know, I love the message and I love the intention of what you're bringing. And I want to also bring it into a physical, practical realm where people can say, hey, you know, that sounds like something I've gone through. And what could I do about it in my situation? You know, and of course, everyone who's listening, like, this is just general guidance. We're not like, you know, we're not saying that you shouldn't go see a therapist if you need to, or whatever you need to do, take care of yourself. But this could just give you some advice and some tips and tools and tricks on how to handle certain situations as it pertains to codependency. Because of course, on the other side of codependency is, like what you said, wholeness, operating from that fully embodied self, where it's like you and God, and like you're full up from that. And so I think that's beautiful. So, you know, is there some particular pivotal point, I think we could start here, where you started to recognize that you were operating with codependency patterns, and how was that impacting how you felt about your relationship? And maybe how the relationship went overall, like, feels like that's kind of a big question, but yeah.
Yeah. I remember a relationship in my 20s and I really loved this person. It was actually, I started a relationship with someone after my previous partner had passed away. He died. And so I had gone through this profound grief journey for about a year. And then I had met someone else. And I really liked this new person, and he was very kind of obsessive towards me, kind of fought for my attention. And once I finally gave in to him, I noticed that there was a bit of like a disorganized attachment style with him. Like I would go from very clingy and very needy to not wanting anything to do with this person. So I noticed that I would kind of swing. And I believe that's called disorganized attachment, where you're not really just always anxious or always avoidant. You kind of go, you swing between both polarities. And I started realizing that I didn't really have much control. I was pretty much possessed by my emotions. And I think that if you feel that way, if you feel like you don't have a lot of self-control emotionally, that should be your first like red flag, that you're kind of being toyed around by things outside of you, right? You don't have that developed sense of self-control. And so as with most things, when it comes to healing, you have to be self-aware that there is an issue, and to recognize, wow, this external force has such power over me. Mm-hmm. And of course we're human and that will continue to happen throughout our lives. But how much power, and what kind of tools do we have to actually deal with that after the fact, after our trigger, or after something big comes up? And I didn't really, in my early 20s, I was in the healing work. I was in my astrology business. So I was very much interested in introspection, but I still didn't have the emotional insight or awareness on how to like step in the moment and kind of like hack mm-hmm. how to overcome or be empowered and be confident. Like my jealousy would get the best of me, or my neediness would get the best of me. And so, yeah, through that relationship, I think I was just becoming a really deeply aware of the pattern. There was more in my next relationship, like an opportunity to actually address it. This person, I wasn't super emotionally invested, I would say, in this relationship, but it did give me an opportunity to like work with some of these layers. Also because he was in this more conscious space as well of going into the work and having more dialogue about neediness and things like that. And so we would talk about these patterns and how they were rooted in my childhood. And so that was actually really supportive as well. Like if you can talk about your specific things with your partner and share, like, I'm feeling really activated right now. I'm feeling like really jealous right now. And if they can provide that safe space, incredible. I would also say that one of the biggest things that would be a huge red flag if you're trying to like grow and evolve in within your relationships and cultivate deeper intimacy is like, do you actually feel safe with your partner when it comes to bringing up these things related to your needs and your attachment style? Because we aren't perfect. And I'm sure in my next relationship, there will still be those like pangs of neediness that arise, but it's like, can I, first of all, express them, learning how to express your need in the moment. David Dida actually talks a lot about this in his book, Dear Lover. And he talks about the importance of expressing your first emotion, like the first emotion that comes up versus letting it linger and then it becoming anger or rage. Because anger is never like primary. Oh. The primary emotion is like, if someone's ignoring me, for example, it's usually going to trigger like sadness or rejection. That was a big one for me, feeling neglected, rejected, denied, all of those things. I also had a lot of pride. So bringing that up was something that I found very challenging. And so to actually overcome a lot of that and build connection with my partner so they knew what to do was me saying, I actually feel really hurt that, you know, there wasn't communication there, or like I didn't feel acknowledged, versus stonewalling and just going, taking the easy way out and shutting down. Mm-hmm. Right? There's such a power in creating more dialogue around your vulnerabilities or weaknesses when it comes to healing codependency, because when we release the shame piece, it really liberates us for the energy to flow a little bit more. So yeah, I would say awareness is first, allowing the true self to come up, even if you think it's cringy or needy or wrong. People think that they're wrong for feeling a certain way. And I think that a lot of us are recovering from this.
Yeah.
Feeling like we're wrong or that we're bad. And then the third thing is the self-work that it actually takes to pull yourself back to center and realize like your innate worth, your God-given inheritance, right? And this is like what I think societally we've been disconnected from.
Yeah.
Completely. We don't need to like prove our worth. We are innately worthy. And so I'm passionate about that. Mm. And I'm passionate about like reminding myself of that, because I feel like even when it comes to self-love, like, again, I've been doing like this healing work for, you know, almost a decade. And I love working with people and using my hands and connecting heart to heart and helping people tap into their astrology and upgrade their relationships and all of these things. But like, now I actually feel capable of doing that on a bigger scale, because I genuinely feel like I have self-love. And self-love, it's not just like you feel confident every fucking day of the week, excuse my language. It's such a process and it's such a day-to-day thing, but more and more I tend to have my back. And so, yeah, I don't think there's like a 1-2-3 step process for that necessarily. But if you have like this vulnerable strength when it comes to like inviting in help, that is supportive.
I love that. You shared so much and there was like so much to unpack here.
I know. Sorry. I just shared.
No, I love it.
I'm on a roll.
It's gold. And I was just feeling like it's beautiful. First of all, that you had that second relationship that helped you, like that, you know, where you had somebody was able to hold space for you and not take everything you were feeling to be personal to them. Like, right. And I definitely I resonate with that because of, you know, a lot of my own enmeshment patterns, you know, articulating a need or articulating an issue you know, it just triggered the other person. And so it would put them on the defense. But what was happening underneath that was like, I was defensive, or I was judging my feeling. And so in a lot of ways, I think people will mirror what we are judging about ourselves. Like, it's not okay for me to need things. It's not okay for me to articulate my feelings about a certain thing. It's not okay for me to bring up the fact that my boundary was violated here, and I need to articulate that with that person so it doesn't happen again. And I need to, you know, repair that within myself to make it that it's, you know, make it good with myself that it's not okay that this boundary gets crossed. And so there's like a process. And I love that you start with the inner work process. And that's actually the thing that creates that outer work experience in a sense too, because it allows you to have more smooth relationships. If it's already something you have going on within, outside is like seamless. Whereas if you don't have that within, the outside is rocky because it's reflecting an internal state, of course, too, as you know.
Yeah. Beautiful.
And so I love that. And I also love how, you know, you just kind of went into the self-worth. I think that's such a huge piece of, you know, of what, like you said, society deals with this issue of, you know, performance is self-worth, proving yourself is worth. And, you know, it might be to the matrix, like that's probably not untrue to the matrix, but if we're talking about our relationship with ourselves, that's pretty much like, okay, we got to take that one out there and actually just come back to nurturing the relationship with ourselves. But I think we're so programmed to go externally focused, to be externally focused all the time, that it's like that relationships with self just sort of doesn't even get acknowledged. I mean, I don't know if there's any teachings at schools and things like that, or if that's a normal thing to expect from a school system, or if that's something that like a parent who knows how to do this would be able to teach their child, because a parent who doesn't know how to do this wouldn't be able to teach their child. Why would they be able to? They don't even have that established within themselves or have any, maybe put any importance on it. So, you know, this is very useful, this information. And so for people who are looking to, you know, heal their relationships, essentially, you're looking to heal yourself first.
And your inner child. Yes. And your inner child. And it's like, if you can access your inner child, and the way that I do it is recognizing that there's me as I am now, and there's also little me. And if I'm in meditation, creating that space for little me to like be heard. So sometimes I'll be like, first of all, I think if we close our eyes, we can kind of locate where our inner child lives, right? For me, it's my lower abdomen. Like I can feel her. That's kind of where she nestles. For other people, it's her in the heart, right? For other people, it's somewhere else. But I like to communicate with her because often she feels so neglected and unheard. And I don't care if you're 80, you still have your inner child. And oftentimes it's even more expressed in these rude ways if they're not acknowledged. So I feel like our inner child needs to be acknowledged, her needs, her need for play, her need to be seen, her need to be loved. And you know, when it comes to your personal environment, when growing up, like I had, you know, a relatively okay, talking about it, it's hard because I don't want to like throw anyone under the bus, right? Or anything like that. But I'll just say like my parents did their best and I love my parents, but they were a very conflicted relationship dynamic. And there was a lot of fighting and yelling. And I think I felt neglected. I was a very like emotionally deep, loving person. And I don't think I felt emotionally met. And so that void space that I experience within, I journeyed deep with myself earlier this year, actually. And I was really feeling, wow, like that's a vast space that feels like it's lacking at times. And how do I like fill in those gaps for myself. And the only way that I know how to do that fully is prayer, number one, through meditation, number two. Getting in nature is a big one, but also like inviting people in, because that doesn't come naturally to me necessarily when it comes to sharing my emotions or like naming my emotions. And I'm sure you can relate to, like, sometimes it's hard to name exactly what you're feeling because language doesn't really do the trick.
Yeah, I feel limited by words. And I think, you know, I had a metaphor come up to me this morning of like, this is how it feels like when I'm talking to the world. I'm screaming at a wall and the wall is doing nothing but being a wall, right? Because the wall is the wall. What it represented was the fact that, you know how, and I don't know if you or your parents were like this, but my parents were, and I don't blame them for it. Like this, they just do what they know and that's all they can do, right? So you can't really put the expectations of the world on them. But
and there's like a karmic, like the karmic role that we each hold for each other too, from a grander perspective.
Yeah, anyway. Of course. But you know, I don't know if you heard, but in the 80s, it was like the whole thing in the 80s was like, well, let your baby just cry. Like, just ignore the baby crying. They'll eventually soothe themselves and go back to sleep. You know, so if they wake up crying at night, ignore it and just don't pay attention.
Ignore that thing.
Ignore that baby. So that was funny that you had a baby crying in your background.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the trauma that can create with a child of like, here, I'm going to scream my lungs out because I have something that I need. And I'm being ignored. So it doesn't matter that I'm screaming my lungs out because I'm just going to be ignored. And so that's what gets programmed into the child's psyche. And so they go through the rest of their life feeling like no one cares about what they have to say, or it doesn't matter what they say, whether it's a need in a relationship or it's something that they need at work. Oh, I really need some more support on this project at work. And so it makes it hard to articulate your needs and hard to articulate your wants to even yourself, because it was ignored at such a pivotal stage of your development. And of course, as you said, you know, there is a karmic cycle. So there is a bigger picture here. And so, you know, and we're in the position now to like listen to ourselves and to also start to value what we're saying and to value our expression, right?
Yeah. Starting that dialogue is so powerful. And when it's deeply embedded in like the way you've been brought up, first of all, it's such a massive responsibility for a parent to like give everything. And usually it's like still not enough in some way. The child's still, you know, maybe missing one or two things in their development perhaps. But yeah, learning to like recognize, okay, do I feel okay with myself? Do I feel met? And if I don't feel met in my relationship or in my personal life, like how can I learn? What do I really need? A lot of people don't know the answer to this. And so going on that journey of exploration is so incredibly important, and one that is this process of like rediscovering your needs, but also like your values. What do you value in relationship? Like, truthfully, in my 20s, I wasn't fully clear on that. I was kind of just going with the flow and also expecting a lot from my partners to fulfill this like an insatiable need for intimacy where I wasn't even fully available for them, like wanting them to just step in and like penetrate all of my walls, but me not feeling fully open to receive the love that maybe they were giving to me. So I think that, you know, another thing as we, you know, tie this call up for people to think about is like, okay, do you feel like you have this insatiable need for love that just can't be quenched? And maybe that's just human, maybe that's just being a woman, but also too, you know, are you looking to your partner to fulfill absolutely everything for you? Or do you have your sense of purpose intact? Do you have your relationship with God or spirit or universe like that feeling restored? do you have a network, a community around you that you can really lean on for different needs? Because I think that our society being so isolated, these codependent dynamics are more rampant than ever. Because we're looking to one person to fulfill all of the needs. Esther Perel talks a lot about this, you know, lover, therapist, friend, you know, co-parent, all of these different roles, but that nobody could possibly fulfill all of those roles for you. And so diversifying where you get certain needs met for fun, for example, or for intimacy, like, you need to decide like what your core values are, because maybe you're not going to get all of them in one person. Maybe if you're lucky, you will. But a lot of the time, I think there's a lot of really insanely high, kind of like romantic delusions that need to be burst. That is the process of also breaking your codependency. Because there's almost a more mature version of love that needs to be birthed.
Yeah, it's like exiting the child stage of like sort of infatuation and lust, and which isn't really love anyways. Those are toxic dynamics, I think, that are prevalent, especially in media. Like, I don't know, like television series, movies, like depict such a bizarre form of love that people just sort of absorb in childhood and through films and whatever.
And like, so you like, complete me, that one.
Yes. That's like, and it's like, oh, I can't live without you. Those kinds of things are like, if, can you imagine saying that to like, I don't know. It just feels like, could you imagine saying that to your child? Like, it just feels like it's so unhealthy to even go into that. But it's like, we do that with our romantic partner or, you know, it's like, And like what you said, this is a journey back to wholeness, but the wholeness is already inherent. The wholeness is already who you really are. It's the shadows that are making it appear as though you are not whole. It's the excess stuff that we have on ourselves that makes us appear as though we are damaged. But if we remove all that, we come back to like, well, I'm light, I'm love, I'm an aspect of the divine. Like,
and God will teach you that. Like, I love the word God personally. I'm not triggered by it. I think God is in everything. And it's this constant interplay of energies that we learn from, this giant mirror that we're operating in. And like, I've been lucky because, and I've noticed this in clients, like if you're codependent, you will attract people who do not love you back.
Yep.
Simply so you can turn the mirror back onto yourself and be like, oh, wow, they're rejecting me because I'm rejecting me.
Yes.
When you start accepting yourself, you start experiencing relationships that fully accept you. And that's how you'll know that you're making a lot of progress on your journey too. Like, I even look back to years ago, I've had to, you know, move away from many different friendships because like these people were either frenemies or just not nice people, didn't have my best interests at heart. But it's because like at that point I was so mean to myself, like that was where I was at. And now I have people around me that genuinely support me and genuinely love me. And it's always this beautiful reflection. So my guidance would be like, take a look at the mirror of your life. What are your relationships showing you about your inner dialogue, about your belief system, about yourself, about what your inner child is needing from you? Do you feel met? Do you feel seen? Do you feel honored? And if you don't, can you start giving that back to yourself first and foremost? And if you continue to do that, you will either notice these relationships shift or they will fall away and something better will come along.
Absolutely. There's an art of letting go that definitely plays a role here, I think.
Absolutely.
But I love this conversation. I think you're amazing. I really enjoyed just sort of the depth in which you're willing to go and what you're willing to share and the articulation of these ideas in a concrete way. I think people can walk away feeling like there's something that they can take into their life here. And, you know, a reflection that you might, you know, an application tool that you might want to use could be just to pull out your journal where you start talking to yourself and use it as a dialogue. You know, what does my life look like? What do my relationships look like? And how do I feel about myself on a day-to-day basis? And what can I do about it? How can I meet myself where I'm at, as opposed to trying to get it from someone else all the time? And so you brought those points up very clearly. So thank you.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor. I would love to just invite you to share anything that you want to share, where people can find you, people can work with you, people can learn more about you and connect with you to see, you know, you're an amazing astrologer. You do great job with the tarot readings. I know in our group, your tarot reading, actually we listened to it last night. So I love it. So what would you like to share?
Yeah, my website is intuitiveempress.com. You can also find me on Instagram, intuitive_empress. I do have a current offering called From Anxious to Thriving, and this is a 6-week journey specifically for highly sensitive people to really move from this space of feeling anxiously attached to a more secure attachment style and to formulate better relationships. That's kind of the area that I've chosen to get into for my next offering, and I'm really enjoying it so far. I will send you that link, Christine. People can book a free discovery call, and then maybe when you post this video, you can link it. But other than that, yeah, you can go on my website, intuitiveempress.com, to book a tarot reading. You can also book a astrology reading for the first 6 months of the new year. I'm really excited about that one as well. So
amazing. And I think you're also on YouTube, are you not?
Yes, I am. Intuitive Empress Tarot.
Amazing. So yeah, check out all of her links. All of them will be in the description. So go ahead and give that a look. If you're vibing with Lauren, she's lovely. And thank you again for just being a guest. And thank you to everyone who listened to the whole podcast. I hope that you got something out of it. Please share if there's any tips that really resonated with you and that you're going to take into your life. Because honestly, the best way to start your healing journey is just to start and to take action on something, even if it's just one small thing. So thank you again. Have a wonderful rest of your day, everyone. And I'll see you again soon. Bye.
Bye.